This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. High on the list of iconic American companies is a firm that back in the day was called Firestone Tire and Rubber. Firestone's history, both distant and recent, is the subject of a joint ProPublica Frontline documentary that airs tomorrow night on PBS. It's called Firestone and the Warlord. It's a story that begins in 1926 when Mr. Firestone himself made a deal with the government of Liberia, 1 million acres of rubber tree plants at 6 cents an acre. It is a deal that 60 years on, by the late 1980s, would become much, much more complicated. ProPublica's T. Christian Miller is one of the reporters behind that film. T., it's good to have you with us.
I'm glad I can be here.
There are 60 years, plus or minus, between the establishment of this plantation and the events of this film and of your stories. But we're going to skip ahead, but I want you to tell me what Firestone came to mean to the Liberian economy in those 60 years. How important did it grow to be?
So Firestone dominated the Liberian economy. They were the largest employer. They were the largest taxpayer. They built a lot of the country's roads. They introduced currency. Firestone took the idea of a company town and turned it into a company metropolis.
Right.
It was a huge, sprawling plantation. It took up 10% of Liberia's arable land. So from very early on, Firestone and Liberia were married together in a very fundamental way.
And then late 80s, early 90s, a series of coups and government overthrows devolves into a civil war, and a guy by the name of Charles Taylor winds up controlling this plantation. Remind everybody who Charles Taylor was in the history of Liberia and this company.
So Charles Taylor was a guerrilla leader, educated in America, who started the civil war in Liberia. And just as kind of a signal of how bad this war was, Charles Taylor became the first person since Nazi Germany as a head of state to be convicted of crimes against humanity.
He winds up controlling the plantation. What does that mean for the American expats and the Firestone employees who are on this plantation, and also the, 8,000 Liberians who are working there?
Yeah, this is where it really gets interesting, where this becomes a story about choices, the choices that a big American corporation faces when it comes into contact with a violent guerrilla leader, which happens all the time. Firestone, which has been this dominant company for many years, became the front lines of the Liberian Civil War. People were killed, civilians were killed. Some of the Firestone managers had RPGs pointed at their chest. So after a period of about 10 days, Firestone realized that they couldn't stay there any longer. It was just too dangerous for their expatriates. And so they flew their expatriate staff back home, while the Liberian staff, there was 8,000 workers, were left in Liberia.
And then they come back. That to me was the nut graph of this whole thing. Firestone says, you know what, we got to come back.
Yeah, that was the nut graph for me as well. A lot of the Firestone executives, as well as Liberians, will tell you that the decision to come back was this turning point for Firestone as a company. They could have remained out of the conflict. They weighed all the decisions, and they decided that they should return and try and build their rubber plantation again. Firestone will tell you they were very concerned about their employees. And let's face it, as the Firestone folks told us, it's a business, and they have a responsibility to make a profit. I would say there's a final thing that several Firestone folks told us, which is that there was this emotional attachment as well. They had a long history with Liberia. Liberia had a long history with them. These are people who had known each other for years, who'd grown up together. They just didn't want to walk away from that.
Did Firestone cut a deal with Charles Taylor to be allowed back into that country and to make this plantation work again?
So what we know from our documents is that Firestone signed an agreement with Charles Taylor's rebel government. That agreement said Firestone would pay taxes to Charles Taylor's government, and that Charles Taylor's rebel forces would provide the plantation protection.
And so to the question that you guys ask at the end of the film, does Firestone then have blood on its hands after all this?
So it depends very much on your perspective. Certainly, we had American diplomats, Liberians, who believed that Firestone was complicit in Charles Taylor's civil war. Firestone, of course, would deny that. They were not there to help Charles Taylor fight a war. They were there to run their business. And as part of having to run their business, they had to pay taxes to the guy who was in charge. At that time, Charles Taylor was in charge.
T. Christian Miller is a senior reporter at ProPublica. The film that ProPublica and Frontline did together that airs tomorrow night on PBS is called Firestone and the Warlord. T., thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Kai.